The Gospel according to John chapter 15, beginning with verse 9. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. This is the word of the Lord. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. It's not a good suggestion. It's the word of the Lord. This is the word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Complete means lacking nothing. Too often to find joy, we look at all kinds of outside resources, thinking that things are going to make us happy. And Jesus is saying, listen, just choose me. Choose to follow me every day. John 14:15 says, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Jesus said, if you do that, then my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. You won't need anything. Then we could really rejoice. You know, even, and it's a recurring theme, but even when the world is falling apart around us, no matter what you're going through, whether it's your health or work or finances, relationships, Jesus is saying that you can have joy. Your joy comes out of here. Your joy doesn't depend on what's out there. That's the good news. And Christians, we should be the most joyful people in the world. You know why? Because the butler did it. You know, and I always say that the butler did it means somebody's telling you the end of the story. They're telling you how the movie ends before you even get there. And the good news is the butler did it. We know how it all turns out in the end, you and I. And if you don't, you need to talk to somebody who's up on the Bible who can share with you the good news about what's going to happen to your life because of having Jesus Christ. It's not just enough to say, oh, we're going to live forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That doesn't tell the whole story. There's more to it than that. And we know how it turns out. So, brings us to today. Brings us to does this come down? It does. Oh, come on, leave it down. More of that face you cover up, the better. Oh, no. Just kidding. You don't mind, do you? Today's Holy Humor Sunday. It's a celebration of the resurrection of our Lord that was started in the early century, right after Christianity. The Greeks started this tradition. And it was always done right after Easter, you know, because Easter, you had that big buildup. You know, all during Lent, and it was all kind of church, and the Easter celebrations, it would often last a whole week long, and then that next Sunday, nobody would go to church. It was like, okay, Easter's over, we're going to start taking it easy, and we're looking at vacation, and I've had enough church. And the theologians, Augustine and Gregory of Nyssa, John Chrysostom, just to name a few, they wrote about the big joke that God played on the devil. The big joke, because the devil thought he had killed Jesus on the cross and God raised him from the dead. The tomb was empty. That was the big joke. And they wrote about that, saying that was something else, you know. So we should celebrate. And so they came up with this tradition about Holy Humor Sunday. Also known as Bright Sunday or Fool Sunday. There were some other names. And there were a lot of jokes that people would play on each other, even during the service. They'd play jokes on the pastor. He'd play jokes on them. And it was just a fun time of revelry just having fun, taking time to smell the roses, enjoy each other's company, laugh with one another, and not take ourselves too seriously. Because some of us take ourselves real seriously, don't we? All right. Look to the right. Look to the right. Look to the right. Who's ever? Oh, forget that. If you all look to the right, then you're looking at the back of somebody's head. Look at each other. Look at each other. Seriously, look at each other. Come on. Look. Now smile. Big smile. That's it. Big smile. Okay. That's good. That's good. See, smiles are contagious. They're like yawning. Everybody goes, cut that out. They all start yawning. But smiles, when you smile at people, they smile back. When you're out walking down the street and you smile at somebody, they smile back. You know? I tell you, it's a lot of fun. It's very contagious. Knock, knock. No one. No one. The tomb is empty. Oh, yeah. See, John 14, verse 1 says, John 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. This is what Jesus said. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't get upset about anything. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't get in a snit. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let. That's a conscious decision. Jesus is saying, make a conscious decision to not let your heart be troubled. Now, trouble comes our way. We get in an argument with somebody. Work is threatening to fire us or lay us off. Maybe we do get fired. The car breaks down. Child gets sick. A neighbor's dog, you know, messes in our yard. Somebody bumps into us with their vehicle. Yes, these are the things that all of a sudden they come on us, and it causes our hearts some trouble. And Jesus is saying, now make a conscious decision. Do not let your hearts be troubled. So you choose not to be troubled. And by doing that, you are obeying Jesus' commands, and Jesus' joy is then in you, and your joy is complete. And in the midst of your troubles, all of a sudden this happens. You smile. Because you can't help it. Jesus wants to set you free. John 14, 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. See, when the world gives peace, you know what the world does to its enemies, don't you? Just boom, boom, boom. And the world eliminates any threat. And then they say, here's your peace. That's peace to the world. It's when we take care of all the threats. Jesus is saying, listen, all the threats, all of the violence, all of the hard times, all of no matter what's going on around you, I'll give you peace. Take my peace, because you know how it all turns out in the end. You know the butler did it. You know that your joy is complete. And that'll just set you free. Do not let my heart be troubled. And this verse, 14:27, goes on to say, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Anybody here afraid of anything? Raise your hand if you're afraid. Let's be honest. Okay. Anybody want to admit what it is they're afraid of? I'm afraid of Roman centurion helmets. Snakes. I'm going to throw spiders in there too. Ugh, I hate spiders. Oh, man. Afraid of God? I'm not afraid of God. You shouldn't be afraid of God either. We should fear God, which is respect God. You know, scriptures tell us, don't be afraid of the one who can only destroy your body. What does it matter if somebody kills your body? You're going, what are you talking about? Hey, this is not our home. This is all only temporary. We're going to heaven. Eternal life. We're going back to the good stuff. This, you can't take this with you. It doesn't matter when we go. It just matters where we go. Because it doesn't matter who we are. It just matters whose we are. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. All right, look at somebody. Smile. Big smile. Come on now, please. Please cooperate with me today. Please. Smile. Big smile. Not a grin. Don't look like you've got gas. Big smile. You know, there are some people who just refuse to smile. Because some people just like wallowing in self-pity. They do. We all know people like that. There are people who just love saying, woe is me. Woe is me, alas. I've got it so rough. Things are so bad. They love that because they love that attention. And it's an excuse for them not to try harder. Not to do the things they don't want to do. So, woe is me. Now, here's my disclaimer. People who suffer from anxiety and depression, they have a physiological problem dealing with these things. But you always can step out in faith. You can make a conscious decision to not let your heart be troubled. You do the best you can. The Holy Spirit will work in your life no matter who you are. But if you are able, you choose joy. You smile. You don't be afraid. Because you got nothing to be afraid of. Weird, isn't it, huh? Looking and smiling at each other. You know, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Going through something tough and you need strength? Just sing praises to God. Revel in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Revel in your salvation. Put on a silly hat. Stop and smell the roses. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Come on now, the butler did it. We know that. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A cheerful heart is good medicine. When you're cheerful, don't you feel much better? You're lighter, the load's easier, you got more energy, it's contagious, people around you like being around you. It says, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And so when you let the cares of the world and what's going on around you weigh you down, it just sucks the energy and the life right out of you. And it brings people down around you. That's Proverbs 17:22. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. The butler did it. We know how it all ends. God, will wipe away every tear from their eyes, our eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning. You know, suffering, sorrow, anguish, none of that. There'll be no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And imagine that. No more suffering and pain and anguish. This is what awaits us. If God be for us, who can be against us? So, this life is like getting ready for vacation. You know how it is for vacation. You go through all that work at home, all that stress. Bonnie and I always fight. You know, 39 years. When it closer gets to vacation, the more we bicker. Whew, man. And honey, when we go on vacation this year, I'll cook some of the meals and I'll straighten up a little bit so that, you know, you're not working all the time. Okay. Yeah, right. Anyways. But that's what life's like. Yeah, all the packing, picking things on, buying the extra toys you want to take, save some money, making plans and arrangements. And the closer you get to it, the more excited you get, but the more stressful it gets. It seems like the harder you work, and you're almost like, I don't know if this vacation's worth all this. But then you walk out of work, and the weight is off your shoulders. You're like, I don't have to go back. I'm going on vacation. Yeah. Wow, you are excited and pumped, and you go home and you do it. You leave and you go on vacation. Well, we're headed for a vacation, my brothers and sisters in Christ. One that we don't have to come back from. Because we know the butler did it. We know how it all turns out. So there is nothing for us to be afraid of. Let not your hearts be troubled. Be full of the joy of the Lord. He gives us the peace that passes all understanding. Psalm 126, verse 2. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. When we live life wearing silly hats and laughing with each other and at each other, not taking things too seriously, but trusting in God and not letting our hearts be troubled and not being afraid, then the world looks at us and says, I want what you got. I want what you got, man. I want that. Because when my life falls apart, I fall apart. I want what you got, whatever it is. You know, and then we'll be able to baptize the whole world in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us. Go to somebody whose life is falling apart and who's living in fear and say, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I can say that because I serve a risen Savior. Because Jesus is alive. Have fun. Have fun being a Christian. Give me five. Put it there. That's my man. I like to pick on my man. All right. We're in the home stretch. Holy Humor Sunday. A kindergarten teacher was walking around observing her classroom of children while they were drawing pictures. As she got to one girl who was working diligently, she asked what the drawing was. The girl replied, I'm drawing God. The teacher paused for a moment and she said, well, honey, no one knows what God looks like. And without looking up from her drawing, the little girl replied, they will in a minute. Sunday school teacher asked the children, just before she dismissed them to go to church, and why is it necessary to be quiet in church? And little Annie replied, because people are sleeping. At Sunday school, they were learning how God created everything, including human beings. Johnny was especially intent when the teacher told him how Eve was created out of one of Adam's ribs. Later in the week, his mother noticed him lying down as though he were sick. And she said, Johnny, what is the matter? And Johnny responded, I have a pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife. A funeral service is being held in a church for a woman who has just passed away. At the end of the service, the pallbearers carrying the casket accidentally bump into a wall, jarring the casket. They hear a faint moan. They open up the casket and find that the woman is actually alive. She lives for another 10 years and then she dies. A ceremony is again held at the same church, and at the end, the pallbearers are again carrying the casket out. As they are walking, the husband calls out, watch out for the wall. I wouldn't say that about you, dear. No, I just wouldn't. Okay, well, let me close with this one here. Probably should have started with it. George Burns, he said that the secret of a good sermon is to have a good beginning and a good ending, and to have the two as close together as possible. Well, last night we were laughing so hard at Saturday night service that actually one fellow that I know, he came by on his motorcycle, he said, and he was going to go over to the Flea Teak. When he got off his motorcycle, he said it was about 10 to 7. He said, I heard so much laughter coming from upstairs in the church. He said, I just had to come up and see what was going on. But all of life should be like that for us. Don't wallow in self-pity. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. God loves you. You are a child of God, and Jesus is risen from the dead. Praise the Lord. God loves you, and so do I. Let's